March Madness plays itself out in the major arenas of America's cities, but there's another melodrama unfolding this time of year in the heartland. And in the spotlight are small towns with big dreams. I recently stumbled across a tape recording that helped me remember what it's like to be smack in the middle of one of those fantasies.
Waiting on the ship, there it goes to Yitzing in the corner and out front to Rudolph, to Granis, to Bauer Sox in the left corner, bingo!
It's March of 1968, the title game of North Dakota's premier sporting event, the Boys Class B High School Basketball Tournament. Big city schools play in Class A. Class B is a place for small towns to shine. Schools of a few hundred students, or maybe just a few dozen. In that 1968 game, it was David against Goliath. My school, tiny Wolford High, against big, fearsome Central Cass. They were one of the best teams in the state's history.
25-21. Shot up is not good. Yitzi rebounds. He scores at the buzzer.
Idsty. That's me, number 30. I played guard, and it was the biggest game of my life. Central Cass was from the east near Fargo, the state's largest city. It was a big school with big players. Wolford was small, very small. Wolford was a tiny village under the dome of the high plains sky up near the Canadian border. Towns like Wolford were invented by railroad surveyors in the late 1800s. They plotted a town every 12 miles or so along the line, so the farmers furthest from town could still make a round trip by horse and wagon in one day. By 1968, Wolford was already in deep decline. The main highway into town was a gravel road. The nearest paved road was 15 miles away. There were more people buried in the town cemetery than there were living souls in the community. My friends and I would count and recount the number of people in town, and we struggled to reach 100.
Most anybody that would be listening, I think, if they went to Wolford, they wouldn't think of it as a town. They would think of it as a sudden gathering of homes on the prairie, elevators sticking up. It would be, at best, a neighborhood to most people.
That's Ross Juleson. The 1968 Wolves were his team. He'd come to town to teach math and science a few years earlier, but in a high school with only five teachers, he ended up the basketball coach, too. The team's star was Vance Bauer Sox, a rangy, angular, six-foot forward.
We weren't the typical term redneck, but used to carry a .22 rifle along to take a shot at a rabbit or something on the way home from practice. I remember that vividly.
It was the middle of nowhere. We got one station clearly on television, but we had basketball. In the late winter, when the haylofts were nearly empty, we'd go from barn to barn playing hoops till midnight. And Vance had nailed a wooden backboard up on the side of his dad's barn.
I remember shoveling snow just so I could shoot baskets and playing out in the barn and replaying games that I heard on the radio.
Vance's farmyard was so rutted from tractor wheels and covered with cow pies that you couldn't dribble, but he would loft long jump shots one after another. Without any instruction at all, he made himself a great shooter. Even the coach didn't tinker with his shot.
Anybody who would remember Vance would remember a pure jump shot that just unfolded naturally.
The rest of the starting five, Richard Petrick, Roger Rudolph, Jerry Gronis, and I, were all pretty good athletes. And we had high expectations for that 1968 season. But you have to win seven tournament games in a row to get to the Class B championship. And to us, that seemed impossible. You see, Wolford suffered an affliction common to most small towns. It had a deep inferiority complex.
The town kind of had the mentality that we were going to pee down our leg when the time came. So we had that to overcome. And I think it permeated the kids, a kind of fatalistic sense of impending doom at some point. So that had to be overcome. And I think it took a sense of success, of knowing how to win.
The year before, we came close. We lost in double overtime in the district tournament. After that, Coach Juleson lined us up in the bleachers of our tiny, windowless gym and convinced us that the difference between us and the teams from bigger towns was trivial, that with more focus, more discipline, one or two fewer mistakes, we too could bask in the warm spotlight of the state tournament.
We played a style of ball that minimized anything that could mentally block you up. We played defense and we rebounded. Those aren't things that you choke on.
Slowly, we began to believe him. And the next season, the team dedicated itself to a life of almost monastic concentration. Getting to the state tournament was all we cared about.
One year, was this my senior year, we had somebody gave me a can of beer, and I was going to drink the thing afterwards. And on my way home from all the festivities that night, I had pulled that can of beer out of the glove compartment and was driving home. And I started to open it, and I said, nah, I threw it out the window.
I gave up girls, though there's some question whether I had any girlfriends in the first place. Our dedication paid off. Despite the toughest schedule in the school's history, the 1968 Wolves didn't lose a game during the regular season, and we had won 27 straight when we faced off with Central Cass for the state championship. The day we arrived in Minot, the big town in the center of the state, we found ourselves in what seemed like a different world. At least, it was different for us. This is my teammate Richard Petrick.
We were pretty much dumbfounded out here because we'd never been that big a place. We stayed in Minot, which is a pretty big town. We'd never been overnight anywhere else, I don't think.
We went down to the big tournament arena to practice. It was the biggest space we'd ever been in. It felt like a big barn. In fact, Richard said, you could put a lot of hay in here. The morning of the big game, we awoke to find our pictures on the front page of the Minot Daily News with a David versus Goliath headline. That night in the arena was like a dream.
Minute and 10 to go in the quarter. Bauer Sox down the middle. Underhand shot, not good. He tipped it in. Bauer Sox tipped it in after he missed the underhand shot.
Wolford was virtually empty that night. There were probably a few old bachelors huddled in the lamplight listening to this play-by-play on the radio. But the rest of the town was at the game. We could see them in the bleachers.
So Jerry Pyle and Bauer Sox having quite a battle. What a first quarter.
I believe it was the biggest thing that's ever happened in Wolford. The most exciting time and the most attention that Wolford has ever gotten.
8 seconds to go in the half. 43-41 Cass. Bauer Sox, 35-footer. Good!
It was a long shot, and then the camera panned up on the scoreboard, and it said 43-43, and it was just really thrilling at that point.
Despite the tie score, Coach Juleson was worried.
I recall thinking later that they shouldn't have had 43 points, that we couldn't beat them with that type of score.
Vance Bauer Sox was in an epic offensive battle with Central Cass's star, 6'7 Jerry Pyle, a terrific athlete who later played for the University of Minnesota. They traded baskets all night long and ended with 38 points apiece. But by the middle of the third quarter, we knew we were struggling.
You can't watch something like this without... Here's the steal by Jerry Pyle. He drives, he's under, he shoots, he scores, and it's 51-49.
They just seemed to shift gears on us in that third quarter, and then we went into a stretch where we didn't make a few shots, and pretty soon we went from tied to about 9 down, and then it was all uphill, and we just couldn't do it anymore.
Free throw is good. Bartholomew scored him. Long one-hand shot in the air. Is that good? There it is, and Cass wins it. 95-77.
In the locker room afterward, there were tears and a sense of failure. But the next morning, the town came out to meet us at the main highway. Someone had stuck an American flag on the back of the town's fire truck, Wolford's only official vehicle, and a long caravan of cars escorted us the final 15 miles across the prairie and down our gravel road back into town. It took some time to get over that loss.
I didn't want to lose, so maybe in some respects it was as much a disappointment as it was an accomplishment. But I'll tell you, Wolford was the first tiny school to make a big splash in Class B basketball and threatened the larger towns. And I think it gave a sense of belief to a lot of kids in a lot of small towns in North Dakota, because after that, it started happening with regularity.
In fact, all those legendary coaches have it wrong. Winning isn't the only thing. It's just the sweet icing on a very rich cake. In the long run, I'm sure it really made no difference that we lost that game 33 years ago. Had we won, our lives would probably be pretty much the same. What really matters, what really changes your life, is the passionate pursuit of something you love. Visit our website at npr.org for photos of the Wolford Wolves and more. And thanks to Don Severson of Central Cass for the play-by-play recording of the Class B Championship.